Good morning, day or night, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Survive and Drive podcast. Today, we are discussing the first three Grand Prix of the 2024 Formula One World Championship.
This is your favorite source for American-based F1 conversation, presented by me, Alex, and my co-host, Tyler. Let's race into it.
No!
Well, we're three races in, and...
We've done it!
We did it! We won! I'm not going to say the rest of the season doesn't matter, but I thought after the first races that he might not lose a race the entire season, which would have been really tough. And was the race itself in Australia great after he lost? But it doesn't matter. It was great either way because not only did, and we'll get into it, not only did someone else win, but we all won.
There have been better races.
Yeah.
But there have also been races where he won. So this one fell somewhere between.
Yeah, true. That's good. Yeah.
It's been enjoyable.
Yeah, I think for me, the funniest part was just the overall reaction. Like, not only between, obviously we reacted like this, but like on Twitter everywhere. Like, unless you were a Max fan, everybody was happy about this. And that was, I think, the funniest part because I've been watching for a couple of years only, but like this is the first time I can remember where someone DNF'd and the race itself like really wasn't anything spectacular and everyone's like, this is awesome. Like this is the best thing ever.
It was a mass celebration.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit foreshadowed, right? He had the issue, a little bit of an overshoot. Carlos got by him. And then, you know, just the lingering smoke.
I think slowly seeing it happen too, like made it feel even better.
It was great. It was a slow simmer back to the pits.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, he started all the smoke coming out of the back and it was almost like, we're going to watch somebody win with no engine. Like this is just how he's going to do it now.
Yeah.
And thankfully it halted.
Yeah. I was for a small second. I was concerned that, yeah, it was like an engine thing that wasn't permanent. And that, yeah, he would still win the race, and then we'd have to hear about how he won a race with an engine issue.
Yeah. It was one of those things where you start looking around. You're like, he surely can't do this.
Yeah.
This can't keep going.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's reel it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's ground ourselves in round one at Bahrain. Thoughts?
I mean, I think this went as expected, and I say as expected as in, like, once we saw qualifying and saw where the cars were at in preseason testing and stuff, like, I think it went as expected.
Yeah.
Max ran away with it, was able to pit and do the fastest lap at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was very, it was a very, just a clinical race from them. Like, it just very, there really wasn't much stress ever. Like, it was him and Perez were, ended up finishing 1-2. Like, it really wasn't a big deal. There was no pressure, really. There was never any issues. Like, it just finished clean. And other than that, like, overall in the race, I mean, high-level things, you know, Alpine, maybe one of the worst cars of all time to start a season. Talk about a step back and a step down, however you want to say it. Outside of that, though, I mean, you had the Leclerc stuff was classic Ferrari to start the season, where he had the issue with the brake where he like couldn't turn. The Aston Martins looked pretty slow. The Mercedes didn't look great either. Lando and Oscar were kind of, as a McLaren fan, just in their own race, basically. Like, they didn't really have anybody to go against. They were just kind of there.
Yeah, but, I mean, first race of the season, there was a lot of hope to be had.
Yeah.
Right? We saw what we expected with the Red Bulls out front. Perez was able to clean up the job and finish in second. 22 seconds back, might I add.
That's crazy.
Sainz rounding out the podium. Ferrari going 3-4. We have Mercedes and McLaren filtering in through eighth, and then both of the Astons finishing together. It was a very team-oriented race.
Yes.
It felt like teams were very tight together.
I agree, and I think if you wouldn't... Russell had a great qualifying, which kind of shot him up in there, but had he, I think, qualified where Lewis did, he would have probably finished 7th, 8th, and the McLaren probably would have finished 5th. It was just very much... Yeah, it was very much like... There was like... The top five teams, there was a clear separation between each team of like where they were at pace-wise, which was something we don't really see a ton. Usually we see some kind of battle among the top 10, but really nobody battled the entire time. Like, everybody kind of slotted in after the first couple laps, and that's how it finished. I do want to give, and we're going to obviously get into this when we get to Australia, I do want to give credit to Sainz. So, I mean, I know Leclerc had the issue with his brakes, but he capitalized on that and got a podium out of it, and he's had a great start of the year because of it.
He is in form. I mean, he's making Ferrari look a little bit foolish.
Yeah.
Not to say that signing Hamilton was the wrong decision, but
No, I agree.
You know, he's single-handedly outperforming the rest of that team. And yeah, it's cool to see. You know, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I think it kind of adds to that driver market of, okay, whereas before this season, you know, he's a great driver. He's a really good driver, but he hadn't quite tackled that kind of second driver at Ferrari.
Yeah.
Even though he had finished above Leclerc in the standings, it was that, you know, he is a consistent driver, but not necessarily winning races.
Yeah.
And now he's really capitalizing and really outperforming. Oh, for sure. And yeah, it'll be fun to watch how it all unfolds for him.
I saw a tweet, which I guess is, I mean, this is a lot of like, you never know what's going to happen, but obviously he had the appendix in race two where he didn't race. And we'll get into that with Beer Man Racing.
Yeah.
Someone said, like, hey, if he, because he probably qualifies roughly where Charles is there at that race at, at Jeddah. He might be in the lead for the world championship right now if he finishes third or fourth of that race. Like, because he's missing, basically, I think he's like, what, 4 or 5 points back right now? Or
I could be wrong.
That's not far. And if he gets 15 points at that race or 12 points, like,
whatever he needs.
It's not out of the question to think that he's in the lead. Obviously, he had the appendix, so he can't. That's hindsight's 2020. Like, it is what it is. But it's still. He's been, like, obviously, Max has won two of the races and Carlos has won one, but, like, to me, I don't think it's arguable, like, he's been the most impressive driver this year so far.
Yeah,
I
think, expectations.
I think in terms of how much expectations he's exceeded,
100%. Let's go ahead and touch on just a couple of quick things at the first race of the season. Zhou going long, 11th place.
That was great. But that was a great drive from him.
It was a great drive.
I know you're Tyler's the biggest Zhou guy on the planet.
Someone's got to be. let's go ahead and touch on the drama with RB Racing, Tsunoda and Ricciardo
getting a little spicy
at the end.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be an issue between them the rest of the year now.
I thought so after the race, but, you know,
I think it's still going to, because I think my reasoning for that is, one, Tsunoda's driven really well and done really well in that car this year, and Ricciardo hasn't, and I think eventually there's going to be instances where Ricciardo's, I don't know, it just feels like it's going to get, not messy, but like there's going to be more of those instances on track that are going to happen this year.
I think it'll almost shift from where we've seen Tsunoda being the driving force of any, you know, anger or, you know, whatever, and it's going to kind of move towards Ricciardo as he continues to fall out of the race for that second Red Bull seat. So we'll see how that plays out. Anything else to mention? Williams having some troubles, Logan having some issues, but not capitalizing on anything else. Hulkenberg hit the Haas, and Alpine is awful.
Yeah, Alpine is very bad. One of the biggest off-season, like, drop-offs I've ever seen. Like, just to go from a clear midfield team to the worst car in the grid is astonishing. Because they were, for sure the first race, they were the worst car in the grid. I think those, 100%. Data-wise, they were the worst car in the grid.
And it's so interesting to see how much of a powerhouse they were. Obviously, an engine manufacturer themselves. They were such a powerhouse a few years back, 4 or 5 years back, you know, and they've slowly made the decline. They've become almost like this corporate entity and now they've gone through so many restructuring, so many different, you know, head principals, so many different, like, lead mechanics, it seems like, that it's just so hard to keep anything going, and they're so quick to make a change. So now it's something that they have no traction. They have, you know, they show up with one of the worst cars on the grid. Their drivers are relatively high level drivers.
Yeah, I agree.
Compared to the field, but not able to do anything at all.
No, I mean, if the car's that bad, there's like not much.
Exactly.
I don't know what they. Yeah, I agree. It feels like every race, more people from that team either leave or get canned or mm-hmm. whatever it may be. So they just, like you said, they show up with a new team every race. And I don't. Are we gonna? Question has to be asked at the end of the season. Before the end of the season, are we gonna see Kelce and Mahomes behind the wheel?
Or is Zidane gonna be?
Is Zidane in the car? Gonna be in the car?
Who knows?
Do they bring Mbappe in? Just throw that out there. Literally, we talked about it.
It's all to play for.
It's all to play for.
One last note. Valtteri Bottas with an absolutely painful pit stop. That team, something they're struggling with and continue to for the next few races. We'll see if they're able to shuffle anything together. Move forward with a little bit of a quicker pit stop team.
Yeah, those are tough.
Let's go ahead and move on to Saudi Arabia. Race at Jeddah. Let's go ahead and note the two things for starters. We have Bierman.
Bierman. So signs, appendix, gone.
Gone.
He's gone.
Dead. Out for the count. Kind of like
Bierman
Max.
Comes in. Yeah, that's true. Bierman comes in. I think FP3 was his first go, right? So he comes in, only gets in FP3 on the track, on a tough track. What is a tough track for sure?
Qualified
pole.
Pole position.
For F2 and sacrifice that in those points, which obviously you're going to do if you get a chance to go in F1. But they did talk about the interesting thing. It's like, I think they said it's like 14 seconds lap faster in an F1 car than an F2 car.
It is so impressively fast.
That's a big jump to make when you just qualified in F2.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he had a great weekend. He qualifies P11, barely misses out on Q3. Which super impressive for him just having one session in the car before that.
For sure. And I think, not far at all.
No, very close to Hamilton was P10. He was very close to Hamilton, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was pretty impressive. It is kind of interesting thinking about it from a what would Sainz do? You know what I mean? Especially with the hindsight after Australia.
Yeah.
But I think Bierman did a really good job for his first race.
Oh,
everybody
100%,
had nothing but praise for him throughout the pit lane. So, yeah, great work for him getting in. I mean, aside from the fact that he has never raced an F1 before, the fact that you come in as a super sub like Hülkenberg and only get one day of testing or one session,
1 hour, yeah.
So, yeah, really well done from him, and I'm sure we'll see more of him.
Yeah, I think we will too. What did he end up finishing, 7th, 8th?
I believe it was 7th.
Yeah, so gains a few places during the race, finishes 7th, gets points on his F1 debut, and not only gets points, but like it's not like he just like qualified high and then fell back some and like ended up in the points, because like he raced up and made places up and finished in the points. So, yeah, great weekend from him.
Yeah, did well. Very competitive, too, and they're fighting.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and just say it. That one dude won. Checo came in 2nd again.
Which, yeah, I do want to say that I credit to him through the first two races. Yeah,
he looks good.
I think that he's been good. I think, because that should be the expectation. If their car, which I think it is, has that big of a gap in the field, which it did through the first two races, he should be finishing 2nd place in it, worst. Like, he should be finishing 2nd place.
Yeah, and his qualifyings have gotten better, and that's where we saw him struggle.
Especially middle of last year.
Last year, he had that stretch
where I think he missed Q3 like 5 times in a row or something.
Yeah, not a good streak to have. When you have that car under you, and it didn't seem like he could cut through the field as well as Max could when he had to start back. So, yeah, he's been doing really well as far as meeting expectations. This race, only 13.5 seconds back.
Only.
Yes, but finishing 1-2. Leclerc rounding out the podium. We had Piastri with a really good showing to finish 4th.
Yep.
Alonso with a really interesting strategy to come home in 5th. Really good race from him.
Yeah, great race from him.
And then we have the Mercedes going 6 and 9. Russell and Hamilton. Bierman finishing 7th, as we mentioned.
Yep.
And Hülkenberg rounding out the points in 10th with one of the best displays of teamwork from Magnussen.
Yeah, credit to Magnussen there. I did not. Good for him. Because, like, he basically took himself. I mean, he was kind of out of it right away, but he basically took himself out of the race. Like, he had the penalties, obviously. Didn't he get, like, 20 seconds of penalties?
He did. Yeah, he had some incidents.
But credit to him for, like, not, I don't know, throwing a fit about that or, like, letting that ruin things. Like, he played the team game completely, and like it for got sure. the Haas points.
Yeah, yeah, it's something they need to do. I you know, they've capitalized really well when they can, but it doesn't seem like they've been in that position very often. And after losing their head principal, and you know, some things swirling about the team ownership, what's going on there? They've seemed to do pretty decent so far.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with such a competitive grid this year.
Yeah.
Albon, Sargeant. Yeah. Bottas and Joe, 17th, 18th, the last of the finishers. Tough.
That was tough. Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't know. It's going to be tough for any of them to get points any week because the top five is so clearly ahead of the rest of them. You need a DNF or something like that for it to even happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jetta, I mean, it's kind of similar. It's like, it wasn't the Sainz thing was in Bierman getting his opportunity is probably the biggest news there. I don't
for sure. Stroll.
Stroll.
I cashed out. I put down that he would retire or he would not classify.
Yeah. Yeah, that I should have followed you on that one because that feels like a classic Stroll track to just not finish at.
Yeah. And
so credit to you.
And Pierre Gasly with the early gearbox issue on the formation lap.
Oh, yeah.
Continuing their fantastic start to the season.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and jump to the fun one, Australia. What a time.
Yeah, I mean, this was everything, right? This was, I think I tweeted this was my Super Bowl. Like, this was, so if we start with qualifying... Big qualifying.
Let's start before qualifying.
Before qualifying. Okay,
Williams.
Yo, yes.
Williams.
So, Alex Albon, for those of you that don't know, crashed his car in, what was it? FP2.
It was day one, yep.
Yeah, day one. Crashes it, not repairable, or they didn't have another chassis, right?
Correct.
And so, which makes sense driver skill-wise, Williams basically like, sorry, Logan, like, he's going to use your car this weekend.
I have a lot of thoughts on this.
I'm curious what you think about this because this is, I feel like everyone had different thoughts on this.
Yeah, I think, you know, first and foremost, it's a really bad look for Williams. Not because of the decision, not because of whatever happened, but because they didn't have a chassis ready at the third race of the season.
Yeah, that's the crazy part here.
This is a very simple thing to have ready, and obviously they're making changes. Obviously they're, you know, developing quickly. They have a very aggressive development plan, but it's a position that you shouldn't have to put your drivers in.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't have to put yourself in as a team principal or as a team in general. And really kind of just disappointing that it had to happen. And then, yeah, obviously the decision, Albon crashes. It's hard to, you know, I can understand the decision, right? There's an obvious performance difference between Albon and Sargeant that is very clear from everything that we've seen.
Oh, I agree. Ever. Yeah, the decision performance-wise makes sense. It's everything leading up to it. That
at the same time, though, it's hard to understand how you can expect a driver who just had a pretty big crash, obviously damaging the chassis, having him go through that and then have to rebuild confidence in a day to get back in the car, get back on that circuit, and outperform a driver who, you know, would have had the full weekend of testing.
I agree, yeah.
A really interesting situation. I think it was the wrong move, obviously with hindsight and not getting a point at all, you know, makes that a little bit easier of a call. I think it was the wrong move in the sense that you've pretty much told your drivers where they stand in one of the most clear ways that you could ever do that.
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't think there is a more clear way.
Yeah.
They basically like, this is Alex's fault. Alex crashed, but we're going to take your car away, even though you did nothing wrong. Like, it clearly shows where they're at with that. And to me, it shows, too, that not that he can't get better, but, like, it gives me the vibe that, like, this offseason they wanted to sign somebody else, couldn't find anybody that they wanted to, said, all right, we'll just run it back with Logan again another year. We're not going to have a competitive car anyways, and, like, have already really moved on.
You really do state with that action that you're not signing him again.
I don't know how, like...
I don't know how he would want to sign.
Once signed again, or like once. I don't even know how. Like, it'd be so awkward the rest of the year now.
It is very clear. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. I agree.
And you know, if they would have showed up, if like one of their chassis would have gotten damaged in shipping or something like that, and you give it to Albon, okay,
fine,
get it, fine,
yeah,
whatever. This is a
it was clear, Albon's fault. Yeah,
clear blame.
Yeah,
really interesting. So yeah. Anyway, yeah, 19 starting racers. Let's jump to qualifying.
Yeah, so qualifying, you know, big story here. Obviously, we have one of the Alpines finally making it into Q2. Ocon did.
Oh yeah.
So. And then we have Bottas making it into Q2, which is I think a little bit of a shock. Mm-hmm. Ricciardo with a tough performance in the V carb. I was trying to think of the name. Which this is the, I mean, we kind of touched on this earlier. Tsunoda gets into Q3, qualifies 8th. Ricciardo qualifies 18th.
Mm-hmm.
I know that V-Carb is not, it's not a top 5 car, but they're probably the 6th fastest car right now, I would say.
They're, yes. Yes, I would say
yeah,
so as
I'd
well.
Yeah, I'd say overall they're probably the 6th fastest car, and Tsunoda's done well in qualifying and done well in the race, and Ricciardo has had the opposite, and it's been mm-hmm. one of those things where he keeps coming out and saying, I don't know why I'm struggling. Like, he's like, basically it's like,
it's
not
McLaren.
Blaming himself, but
it's
like,
McLaren
it's
days.
The McLaren days all over again, where he's yeah. like, something, we're not doing something right, but like,
yeah,
people on Twitter, and I'm starting to fall in this too, like, he might just not have it anymore. He might just not have it. I don't know. I don't want that to be the case, because I love him, but like, the evidence is really starting to stack up,
yeah.
where it's like, he's not, if I even look back at the second half of last year, like, other than that kind of comeback he had in Mexico, where he made a bunch of places up, like, he didn't really do anything. And then this year, he's been outraced and outqualified by Tsunoda in all 3 races.
Yeah, it's been really hard to watch the decline after some really high highs for him.
Yeah.
In the sport, and with such a great personality, obviously very well
yeah.
liked. It's tough to see, you know, at the end of the day, the stopwatch never lies.
That's true.
And he's just not performing as well as he should be.
Yeah.
Or is expected, I should say. Let's see. What else? Let's get to the race.
Yeah, I mean, Verstappen qualified P1. Great qualifying from Sainz
mm-hmm.
to put it in P2. Yeah, I mean, other than that, just great qualifying from Sainz, which to me was even more impressive, too, because he just had the appendix out, like, 2 weeks before.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
right back into the car.
You like, there was videos of him online just walking around the paddock.
Yeah,
and
he looked like he was still like
yeah.
not in the best shape.
No, yeah, he's definitely in recovery and
yeah.
to go through.
And puts it be like he's still 2 tenths back, 2.5 tenths back from Verstappen, but like that's not from where Max has been on form wise. Like that's not terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's jump into the race now. So we start out pretty much a clean start. I think there was who spun at the beginning, Stroll.
Yeah.
Somebody got hit at the beginning. I might be thinking of Australia last year, though, when they had the restart and one of the Aston Martin spun. But I thought someone spun at the beginning, but maybe not. The top few, though, had a clean start. Everybody kind of filed into order.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that obviously, you know, popped out to me, and I think that they had discussed, was there was rumors, and I don't think we're actually going to fully know because Max didn't finish a race. But, like, there was rumors that the pace of the Ferrari, race pace, was supposed to be very good
yeah.
at this track. And I think we did see that at the beginning. I know Max had the brake thing happen pretty early on, but before it started smoking and stuff the first couple of laps, Sainz did stay with him. And
he
they kind of
him.
Well, yeah, he ended up passing him, but I'm
yeah.
saying the first couple he stayed with him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
then ultimately ended up passing him, I think, on pace at the time. Now, I don't know when the brake issue kicked in. I know there was probably some –
there
it
was,
probably had already kicked in a little bit.
Yeah.
But on the straight, at least, that's not a brake thing. He just got by him.
Max went long a little bit,
yeah.
And probably due to a little bit of brake failure,
yeah.
And you know, he was obviously on the radio about that. And then, yeah, I think it was more of a, it would have been more delayed, but I
yeah.
think Sainz still would have gotten past.
Sainz would have gotten past him, yeah. And that's what a lot of people thought is they. And I know. I think Perez said that too. That like, even if Max had been able to finish, he thinks the Ferrari would have won.
Yeah,
potentially. Anyways, but. Either way, Sainz and Max kind of started to run away at the start, and then all of a sudden, the greatest thing to happen to this planet happens, a little puff of white smoke comes out of the back of his car.
And then continues.
And then we get to hear Alex on F1 TV or Crofty, if you're on ESPN, say, is that smoke out of the back of Verstappen?
Yeah.
And it's an immediate, it's midnight at this point for people on the East Coast. Yes. It's midnight. And that juice you get from that, cool. I mean, that was, what an adrenaline rush. And then you see a lot of smoke start coming out. And then he slows down. Basically, everybody's past him. And he's done. And you're like, okay, this is it. We are going to get another winner. And it didn't matter to me who it could have been. Perez that won and the Red Bull won again. I didn't care. It was just it didn't need to be Max. And
I'm not going to lie. Until I saw him get out of the car, I did not believe that we were going to have another winner.
Yeah, I was concerned that he, because classic Red Bull would have been like, I was concerned they would have found a loophole where they could have like just put a new brake on
him. Yeah, they would have. They would have just thrown him in Albon's
car.
Chassis that they stole. Yeah,
that's what happened to the chassis.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think it was just so perfect watching him pull into the pits and that right rear brake just explode.
The blow up was
just
beautiful.
Blow up, and you're like, okay, this is it. It's like,
yeah,
he's done. And then from there, immediately your mind shifts to like, okay, well, is it going to be Perez and that's going to win? But I think Sainz looked so pacey to the point of, okay, this is Sainz to lose. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with Leclerc behind him? But if I have the times up right now for the finishing order. Obviously, Lando finishes on the podium too.
Yep.
Those top three stayed close to each other. And by close, I mean Lando finished under 6 seconds outside of the lead, outside of Carlos. Yep. Those top six stayed close to each other the whole race and kind of pulled a gap. Like, Piastri came in fourth and was 35 seconds behind. It was 30 seconds behind Lando.
Yep.
So, like, those top three kind of pulled a gap and were in their own race. Mm-hmm. It came down to pits and just not having clean pit stops, and then pretty much all of them having the same tire tag, everything kind of where they just kept this basically 2.5 second gap between each of the drivers. But yeah, to me that was very interesting to see too, was the top three kind of just completely pull away in their own race basically the rest of the time. A couple other things, and you can feel free to add to this as well. We got both Haases in the points.
Yeah, big time for them.
Which was huge. I mean, what a start to the year from them. It does make me sad because it makes you think that it was Gunther's fault for not being a good team principal. But at the same time, like, we always have talked about how, like, usually in Bahrain, they always had, like, a weird good start. Like, remember 2 years ago, they got P5, and I think even last year, they got, like, P8 or 9. But they have multiple points this year. Now they're done a good job, and like you get two drivers in the points.
They're capitalizing in what seems to be one of the most competitive fields.
Yes, that's the impressive
in the last
part.
Couple years, or in the last few years.
Yeah, we say competitive like two teams through, like the top five outside of Red Bull, which was different, I guess, now, but really in general are competitive, and then really the bottom five teams are all kind of, I mean, Alpine's pretty bad, but like. I feel like in qualifying, we're seeing much closer gaps in qualifying. And then in the race, too, like, there's just between the back markers, I guess, more racing. Not that it matters because it's not racing for points, but you get two Haas in there. Tsunoda, with a great race, finishes in seventh.
Yeah, really good from him.
After this, Alonso, I want to get your thoughts on this. So, Russell, we didn't mention this. Russell has a crazy crash at the end. I thought it was Russell's fault and he crashed. And then I saw when I woke up in the morning that Alonso had like a 20 second penalty or something for it.
It was pretty hefty because they gave him a drive through and I think he put in service, so they had to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. It was almost impossible to notice from the naked eye.
Yeah,
just like watching.
Yeah.
And the FIA agreed. They obviously had to look at telemetry to confirm and actually hand out.
Yeah, did he
break
in this? Like, yeah, but
so. Yeah, Russell following behind, he looked poised to get past.
I think he probably was going to, before the end of the lap.
And which, to be fair, he should have probably done two laps before.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other part, too. But
was very close. I mean, you know, Sly Fox, Alonso placing his car beautifully. I think it was a really, really fun last few laps to watch until that accident happened. I will say, you know, we weren't really on board with them. We were watching the, you know, front of the pack. when they cut back to George and his car was just in pieces and in the middle of the road.
And like flipped and wheels under it.
On
and
the side, yeah.
I just remember, I don't know exactly what he said, but like Alex in F1-2 was basically like, whoa! Like,
yeah. Not something you expect to see in the middle of the track. And then I was expecting an immediate red flag.
Yeah, well, he's screaming red flag on there. He's in the middle of the track, flipped over.
Yeah.
And the race is still going on. And not only the race going on, it's not like, it's the last lap. So like, yeah.
Very racy.
I thought for sure they would just red flag it and that was the ending order would be that, like where they were, but they gave it a VSC and it was like a delayed VSC.
It took a while for them to do anything about it. They were never going to put out a safety car.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have really done much.
No, it wouldn't have done much. I get that, but it was, I think the crazy thing too is, I don't know if you went back and like on the F1, like the app, you can like do the onboards, whatever. Yeah. I was curious how it reacted. Like, every single onboard I watched of, like, just random drivers, all their engineers were freaking out.
Yeah.
They're, like, screaming at them, like, you need to slow down. Like, he's in the middle of the road.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, people were very close getting around. There was debris everywhere.
It was, like, in the part of the track, too, where, like, there wasn't a lot of runoff on either side. So, like, you really were basically having to – they were having to basically come to a stop to, like, get around him.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, very odd.
Yeah.
Very odd.
The penalty, though, I just don't – I get that they looked at the I don't know. It's just so tough. It feels so harsh. But if he actually did do that, then, like,
it was very.
Yes, but I don't think, it didn't seem like George thought he did that, though, either.
George knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
And obviously caught a ton of dirty air from that instance, but also had to get on his brakes a lot sooner.
Yeah.
You know, came
but
up
then,
on him.
But then, yeah.
It is interesting. I don't think there was any ill intention from Alonso. I think he was. It sounded like just trying something new to be a little more defensive on that corner. You know, the way it worked out is unfortunate for him. Because if George doesn't crash, there's absolutely no way he gets anything for that.
No, there's no way he gets anything. The interesting thing was, which I saw a lot of people tweeting after, then on the in lap, Alonso, all of a sudden his car, like, I don't know if you saw the clips of him, like, his onboard, or like his, basically it was like, not stalling, but like having this like weird stuttering in his car.
Huh.
And everyone took the clip of it, and, like, you can clearly tell, like, it's not – he did not have an issue all race, and then it looks like he, like, faked this thing.
Yeah.
Because he, like, knew he messed up with the George incident and was trying to play it off as, like, oh, my car had an issue. Like, it wasn't me.
That seems very Alonso-like, for sure.
But, yeah, I mean, the biggest news from this is Max didn't win. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to also – obviously, this is just our –
Hamilton
coming in.
Hamilton not finishing as well.
Hamilton not finishing
double
as well.
Mercedes
double
DNF,
Mercedes DNF. Saw some funny clips from that where, like, the one clip I saw, the guy's like, 7-time world champion, you just can't lift up the hood before the race, make sure everything's good. We'd be remiss though not to give credit to Carlos Sainz for this weekend though.
Oh, for sure.
Qualifies P2, probably wins the race either way. We're never gonna know, but either way, it's a good battle. Wins the race. I mean, just for him, I know he had the appendix race too and a lot of season left still, but for him, the form he's on right now, and like, it's just so poetic, I guess, to see after them. And again, we said earlier, like, not that they made a mistake taking Hamilton, but like, he's really showing them, like, I'm better than you think I am, I guess.
It's
just very impressive. It's exciting.
It's like a contract year. I mean,
He's driving for his career,
to show other teams, and he can get in anywhere.
Anywhere,
he wants. It's a matter of, you know, how much do they value him? What team is it fully up to him? Those kinds of things. He's really, you know, taking the opportunity by the horns and outracing almost everybody.
He's outracing, almost everybody again. Obviously, Max had a DNF today, and we're never gonna know how they actually would finish. But either way, that aside. To me, he's exceeded the expectations more than any driver this year by a mile. And, I think just to have his appendix removed and then 2 weeks later to have the performance he did this weekend and to be on that form. And I think it's exciting, too, for the rest of the season because if we do have this – if it is the case for the rest of the season, where obviously we don't know what will happen this race, but if it is the case where Red Bull just keeps winning most of the time – which is probably what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get these battles between teammates the rest of the way down, like, that's going to be great because we're kind of not getting much from Mercedes because they stink.
Yeah, they're just not able to capitalize as much as they
normally
have
would
in prior seasons.
But I think if we can get good battles between Lando and Oscar and then between the two Ferrari drivers, like, that's just going to make the race more interesting to watch when Max is winning by 25 seconds.
Yeah, for sure. Let's jump into the standings as it lies right now. Max, obviously, on top with 51. A very close Charles in second. 4 points back with 47. Carlos is in fourth behind Checo with 40 points. 11 points back from Max after missing the second Grand Prix.
Yep.
The McLarens are finishing 5 and 6, or holding 5 and 6, 27, 28. Piastri leading that. George Russell is in 7th. Lewis is in 10th with only 8 points.
His worst start to the year since 2009, I think they said.
Yeah.
First time in 2009 he has been on a podium in one of the first three races.
Yeah. Aston Martin's filling in between them, 8 and 9. Oliver Bierman, 12th with the one race under his belt.
Hülkenberg with a big 3.
Yeah. Haas.
Magnussen with 1, and then Albon, Zoe,
yours Ricardo. Truly.
Both Logan the Alpine Sargent, and then Sargent still 21st. We had a sub driver come in. We have Alpine the lowest they've ever been. Bottas has had 5 hour pit stops, and bringing up the rear still was Logan Sargent.
Yep,
21st place. I mean, it's exciting to see that there's a kind of a drop to Piastri in fifth, but like those top four drivers right now. Granted, Max had a DNF, but Carlos also had a DNF. So, like,
who's to say Max can't have more?
Wouldn't that be so sweet if they just build a stinker reliability wise? If that thing just breaks all the time.
I mean,
It is interesting though. But again, we've had this. Well, last year we never had this because Max just ran away with it right away. We had this in 2022 though, where Leclerc was up in front by a lot, and then it was competitive through Miami, and then it fell apart.
I will say, too, the DNF that Max had is, I mean, publicly was blamed on Red Bull. Like, it was not the part's fault. Their supplier obviously said that it was their operating error.
Yeah.
An unlikely issue after the form that they've had the last few years.
Yeah, I think that was the weird part of it. For me, was them. It's not like it was you got a puncture or like it was something that they couldn't control. It was like you said, it sounded like it was their own fault.
Yeah.
Because it didn't happen to Checo's car.
Mm-hmm.
Like it didn't happen to Checo's car.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we hear more about it. Maybe not.
I they'll keep that on the down low, but
they'll sweep it under the rug.
Listen, if he's going through the S's at Japan and a puff of smoke comes out too, I wouldn't be angry.
Oops. All right, Constructors' Championship, Red Bull leading that. Ferrari only 4 points back. McLaren leading. Huge. Mercedes almost doubled, over doubled.
Yeah.
Mercedes having the double DNF, really putting them on the back foot. Only 1 point ahead of Aston Martin in fifth. RB with Tsunoda's awesome finish in Australia.
Yeah.
Running in sixth. Haas.
Seventh.
The last of the points.
Which would be... Haas to even be able to finish in seventh this year would be so big for them.
It would be, yeah.
The amount of extra money they'd get and sponsors they could get out of that and everything to finish seventh would be huge.
If they allow sponsors, that is why Gunther left.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because they didn't want... And we didn't touch on that for the V-Car boys. I saw an article this week that was basically like, yeah, Ricardo stinks, but like the team really likes his marketing.
Yeah.
I'm sure like, they do. Yeah, I get it.
Let him be the reserve driver again like last year. Yeah, I mean, a pretty competitive season so far. We'll see if, you know, it would be great to see Max not win a race that he finishes.
Yes, I think that's the next step, right? At the same time, we got to appreciate what we get.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take what we can get. Him not even winning a race is a big deal.
The boys can dream.
But, yeah, I think the next step is because really the only example we have of that from last year that's a fair example is Singapore.
Yeah.
That's really the only one. And yeah, they didn't quite, but you can't like, also that's a track where like they just had a poor qualifying and it's really hard to pass there. So like,
yeah, that'd
have been part of it, but I need to see, I'd love to see it like a normal track in the coming races where like either, I mean, the goal would be that he doesn't win obviously, but like if, even if there can be a good battle, like even if it's back and forth and like it's similar to like the first couple races of 2022 where like him and Leclerc battled back, like even if it's just a good battle the whole race, that's a step in the right direction where
for sure. The races he finished by what, 30 seconds we said?
Basically then, each time, yeah. And then 25 seconds a race, 12 seconds average. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean would love to see some more competitive at the very front, but we have been very fortunate with the, you know, two through 20.
10. I mean, you could say 2 through 20 in qualifying in theory. I know that the people who have made it to each qual, like to Q2 and Q3, has been consistent with the teams and stuff. Like it's all been
It has been. Yeah.
It is, each qualifying is close, and I feel like we're seeing a lot more in qualifying people at the top having to do extra runs in Q1 and Q2 to get out, which makes it more exciting because like that's. I think especially in like years, and that was a positive of last year too, was even if the race is boring, like if we can get a good qualifying every week, like it at least gives something to the weekend. It's an
opportunity. You're at a better place to advantage if anything happens to those front runners that are, you know, so much further ahead in race pace.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know, it's, what do we got, Japan next?
Japan. I'm sure you're excited. You see McLaren's new livery.
It looks nice with the...
It is interesting.
It is interesting. I like that they do that. Lando's got a new helmet. I like that they do I like when teams do, I don't think you need a livery, new livery every race. Like when you have I like when they all do it at the same time. Like all the teams at once, like are like, okay, this weekend we're all doing like a funky livery. Like just to change it up a little bit. And like they didn't change it much. Like it just, I don't know, it makes it a little different. It brings a little excitement to the track.
Yeah, it's a little spice.
Yeah, I think Japan, drivers love it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good racetrack. The problem is Max just dominated it the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And then what do we have? 2 years ago we had where it was the rain. Yeah, because we remember we went to, I guess I won't dox us. We went to a bar and we were there at like 2 a.m. to watch and it got getting delayed and then we just left.
That was a tough one. They started and then...
They did like 20 laps or something, right?
I think
it ended up being like 20-something laps. Ended like 5
before in the race. Yeah.
Fun track, though. Potential for rain, it said, although all the Twitter accounts do that every weekend in F1 where they do the little eyeball emoji, like that's it's going to rain. Yep. And apparently it's going to rain at every race always, and it almost never does. But
it's like a 0.02%.
It's like a 0.02%. Yeah, so I'm excited for it, though. I think it'll be interesting to see where the teams are at after this two-week break.
Mm-hmm.
Are Ferrari at this track going to be still on pace with Red Bull? McLaren, in theory, based on what they've been good at and bad this year, should be pretty solid at this track.
Yeah.
It'd just be interesting to see. I don't know. And the other thing is what Mercedes are going to get.
Yeah. it'll be fun to watch. I think Mercedes will come back with some vengeance. I don't think it'll be good for them. I think they need to come back slowly, cautiously, and be that consistent team. Because I think that gets them the furthest in the grand scheme of things.
To me, too, they are at... So this is now their third attempt at this regulation of car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they finally got rid of the side pods throughout the year, and it still really hasn't worked.
Yeah.
To me, they're at this point where you're losing Lewis at the end of this year.
Yep.
Next year is the last year of the old regs. To me, you're at a point of like, okay, we need to, one, figure out who our driver's going to be next, but also like we need to like lay the groundwork for 2026. Mm-hmm. Because it's clear unless something totally changes, they're not winning anything this year.
I think they will. I think they will not win. Sorry, not to that point. I think they will move on to 2026.
Yes, yeah.
Regulations, fairly. I mean, not this year.
Not this year, but I think earlier on than everybody else, they will. Because I fully expect, because this is going to happen regardless. I think, but I fully expect like sometime this fall to get an article that says Mercedes have X amount more horsepower in their engine than their competitors for 2026. I fully expect to get that.
Yeah.
Because we had the same thing for 2022, not with the engine, but with the no side pods.
Yep.
Where all the chatter was that they're going to have a second on the field with the no side pods, and this is like the greatest innovation ever, and it didn't work at all. But yeah, if you're Toto and you're that team, to me, that's what you start doing is – keep building a foundation with this for the next year and a half or these 2 years, but like you got to get it right next time.
I think part of it too depends on what they do in the driver market, because they have George, who is a consistent, great driver. I think he's going, you know, he's with them for the long haul.
I think he's with them for, unless they like never make any improvements and he decides to leave.
Yeah.
To me, that is a, not a, it's a Max, Lando, Charles that kind of situation where he is going to be there for his career now.
Yeah. And I think he waited so long at Williams to get to Mercedes that it'd be almost a throwaway now.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of dedicated everything to this, and like Mercedes has kind of always had their eye on him
exactly
because of it. But so, who do you think they take with the other driver?
So that's what I was getting to. It depends on who that other driver is. I think if they take someone like Sainz or someone like Alonso, they will push a little bit more into the 2025 season, trying to get some wins, trying to get, you know, higher finishes, continuing to develop that car a little bit. I think if they move to someone like Kimi Antonelli, they have that season to develop him as a driver and the 2026 car.
Yeah.
It, kind of in tandem.
Which I like that idea.
And I think that might set them up the best for that new regulation.
Yeah, if Vegas put betting odds on it, that'd probably be the lowest odds.
I could see it. I think there was a lot of hype around it, and I don't think he's doing as well.
No, and that's the other thing, too. I don't think he's doing as well expected, and I don't – there's a lot more steam with Sainz to Red Bull now for that 1 year. That'll be interesting to see, too, like when Audi comes in 2026, because they're really set on signing him, it sounds like.
Yeah.
What does he do? Because then you're, from his perspective, taking the risk of, like, okay, this is a new team. Like, what if they stink?
I mean, they're not – you know, they're not taking over a – top tier manufacturer.
No, that sounds,
They're gonna be a relatively weaker car than what he's used to.
So he's got to decide obviously what he wants to do. I think that's gonna be, to me, the Sainz domino is the first one to fall, and that's gonna affect the rest of, because we have a bunch of drivers under that end of contract this year.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he's gonna be the first. Wherever he lands first, that will determine everybody else, in my opinion.
I think it starts with V-Carb.
I guess you could say that if you're going meta here. I guess you
could say it starts with V-Carb. Because I think...
So you're saying who gets the other... Are we saying this? Who gets the other Red Bull seat with Max? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, relatively.
Okay, that's why I went Sainz, because I feel like he's in contention with that. But I guess you could say anybody in contention for that is... Like, do they give it to Ricardo because it's Ricardo? I would really know at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Sonoda's been good. Do they call him up then?
That's the question. I think are they going to be able to retain Sonoda?
Yeah.
Is, I think, one of the main questions.
Yeah, because he could leave for a small upgrade. He could leave and go to an Aston Martin, that type of team. He could even go to Mercedes, for all we know. Like, that doesn't...
Yeah, I don't see him leaving the Red Bull family, because they have really put a lot into him, comparatively to almost every other driver.
They scrap people by now if they're not...
Yeah, they have to see something.
Scrap somebody, but they kept him for years now. And 2021 was his first season, so
and some very high praise for him.
Yeah.
This season so far. Yes, yeah. So I think he's kind of the first domino to fall. Is where he goes.
Yeah.
I think they'll come out and announce that Perez isn't going to be driving in that second seat. You know, midway through this year.
Unfortunately, yeah, I think they're going to. Do it regardless.
Yeah.
And unless he like wins every race, like they're going to do it regardless, I think. Yeah.
I think, I mean, Perez is one of my favorite drivers. If they don't, you know, if he goes on to retire, let him retire.
Yeah.
Don't announce that you're going to just drop.
Yeah. Him. Just let him retire, which I think that would be the interesting thing is if we get to midseason and he's not announced that they're going to pick somebody else up, I would then shift to he's going to retire.
Yeah.
Because I think the lowest chance of either him getting dropped, retiring, or getting kept by them, him getting kept is the lowest percentage
for sure. Yeah.
And that's not a slight. Like, I just don't think. I think they've already moved on. And, like,
I think
not,
they. If it wasn't for some of the things that were said last year, I don't think they'd have him in that seat right now.
No.
So, yeah, I think we'll see where the Red Bull family kind of goes.
Yeah.
And then once that starts to shuffle around, then other drivers will start moving.
Yeah, the Mercedes seems to be interesting because if you would have asked me before the season, I would have said Antonelli, but it's I don't think he's done great.
He hasn't done poorly. I mean,
but again, I don't know if that's a product of where he's at or if it's his driving. But at the same time, to me, the argument always is like if you look at the younger guys that have come up through that same system, and have stuck. Which I'm really pointing at, like Leclerc, Russell, Lando, like they did really well in the junior ones, like finished top three or one F2 or whatever, or finish whatever. And that stuck.
A lot of them in their first year.
Yeah, a lot of them in their first year. We haven't had many drivers come on the grid that have just done okay Logan Sargeant, for example.
Yeah.
And then gotten brought up and, like,
continue
to do well.
To develop. There, yeah, it seems like next year is a huge opportunity for a lot of the F2 guys. It just doesn't seem like there's a ton of hype around enough of them to fill out the grid.
No, I think you might get one, maybe two, but it's not.
Yeah.
So, like, you got a lot of names on it. You got, I don't even, like, is Drugovich even driving? He's a reserve driver now. He's just not even doing, but he's basically F2 Martin. In theory. Porsche, like, he, yep. I think he won last year F2, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he did.
Yeah.
That's, I'm not 100% sure, but he did very well. Either way, he did very well last year in F2. Nothing really. I know he's part of Sauber. He was part of Alfa Romeo. I don't know if he's still part of that program.
They Bierman. Always, I mean, Bierman, we have Bierman, obviously.
Bierman's an option. They always have Jack Doohan or Doohan, or however you say it. He's always on the shows after.
Yeah, he's, the replacement for Piastri.
For Piastri. Which, wow, for Alpine, that's you. Fernando leaves, goes to a team that's now performing better.
The start of a mega slide.
Then you announce Oscar without him agreeing to it. Then he leaves to a team that's doing significantly better.
Yep.
He's performing well, too. And then you are now the worst car in the grid. It's just, we've talked about it a ton, but it's, I mean, it's funny. It's honestly funny.
It is, yeah. And they don't help themselves much.
No, no. Anything else?
I don't think so. Let's get off to
Japan.
We covered.
We're off to Japan now. Should be a fun one. I think we're 12 or 1 a.m. again for us, but
yeah,
we'll be there. I'll be there.
Yup.
All right. See you in Japan. Goodbye.